Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Track for this, what I assume will be absolutely amazing, 6-part documentary on the Beatles. Beatles Get Back, the result of the finding of 55 hours of forgotten footage from a documentary that was made in 1970 on the making of the Beatles' Let It Be album. Director Peter Jackson took all of this footage. Imagine this, screening all of this footage and, you know, kind of reconfiguring it and, you know, more clearly telling the story of the final days of the Beatles, the making of the album, the final days of the Beatles, and the famous rooftop concert, which I'm told you will see in its entirety in this special that will be on 3 consecutive nights on Disney Plus on Thanksgiving night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night on the Disney Plus channel. All the material has been approved by Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, Yoko Ono, and Olivia Harrison, the widow of George Harrison. And all of them have said this is what it was really like at that time in the history of the Beatles. The story told by Director Peter Jackson, who we were fortunate enough to spend some time with the other day.
From where are we speaking to you today?
Wellington, New Zealand.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, really great to talk to you. A great honor. You know, I've been a fan forever. We spoke at each of the Lord of the Rings movies.
I recognize you. I recognize your face. I was worried about asking in case I was wrong, but I thought, oh, yes. We've talked before. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very polite way of saying that I've been around for a long time. So
we both have.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. We bring our vast experience to this all. You really are the master storyteller in my book. And I'm so curious what it was about this story that you were so fascinated to tell.
Well, to be totally honest with you, it wasn't the story that attracted me. I'm just a huge Beatles fan. And when the possibility of me doing something with a 60 hours of unseen Beatles footage was there, I was kind of, it would have been very hard for me to say no. I mean, I had to watch it, and if it had been miserable footage with them fighting and arguing, I probably wouldn't have done it. But so I started out, you know, not knowing what the story was. I mean, I didn't, there's no script, nothing was written, and this Get Back period of January 69 has always been very strangely written about in books. A lot of them are wrong. A lot of them, you know, equate it to the breakup and when Let It Be came out in May 1970. So it was a mysterious period to me, even as a big fan for 40 years. So I watched the footage a couple of times, and the actual story, if you didn't just call it a story, slowly started to materialize because, you know, they set out on January the 2nd to achieve a certain goal, which is a live show and performing for the first time in front of 200 or 300 people and recording it so they have a live album at the same time. And that's and then as they're heading towards there, things start to go terribly wrong, partly because they're so ambitious. You know, they have to write 14 new songs and they do the show and they've only got less than 2 weeks. It's actually kind of a bit insane, but they're the Beatles. They're out show, they're going to go for it. And it all starts to unravel. George leaves. So you've got this. So this is a story. Now we've got a story which you could almost have written as a script. And so I'm looking at this day by day as this thing. And then they sort of rally and they move into a studio. They change the plans. They do all sorts of things. And they ultimately end up on the roof. So, there was certainly a story there. And I realized, well, this is a 22 days. Michael Lindsay Hogg was shooting for 22 days. Begin to end, just to go day by day. Experience it as the Beatles experience it. So you're looking at what happens on a Thursday you know, they don't know what's going to happen on Friday, and nor do we. And so as they find out, we find out. And that's actually quite compelling. It, at times, it almost feels like it's a scripted drama. It sort of almost feels like somebody's decided to do a streaming series on what on the Beatles' experience in 69 and cast actors and write scripts and shoot at modern day and use period costumes. It almost feels like a drama at times, except somehow you've got the Beatles played by the Beatles. Yeah. And you suddenly shake your head and think, this is kind of really weird.
Yeah. You know, what's really kind of amazing to me is that these tapes were sitting in a vault for a half century. Mm-hmm. Untouched. Why do you think that is?
Well, that's deliberate. That was totally deliberate. It's not a situation where it was this little cachet that had been forgotten about and suddenly discovered. The Beatles allowed Michael Lindsay Hogg into the inner circle to film the most intimate footage. They never allowed cameras filming them working like this. They had an image. Whenever there was a camera around, they were performing. It was a thing, you know. And when they were privately working, no cameras at all. But this one time, they allowed cameras in. He filmed them. He filmed all the sort of 60 hours. I mean, he deserves huge credit for doing this. And ultimately, his movie that he made from it, Let It Be, was released 15 months later. It's 80 minutes long, and they'd broken up. I mean, he had to shoot this footage, and just as I have, he had to go away and do his cut. He had to cut it together. I mean, he was cutting the same stuff that I had to cut, 60 hours and 100 hours of 30 of audio. And by the time Michael got that finished, they had broken up. It was 15 months had gone by, and it had broken up. So, the Beatles, because of that, and because it all became, you know, Let It Be, Get Back, we've got muddled up in their minds. It's the breakup got involved in it, which has nothing to do with the breakup. It's 15 months earlier. The Beatles decided that they knew that all this other footage existed, and they made a policy, Apple Corps, the Beatles made a policy, lock it in a vault. We'd never want anyone to see this stuff. It wasn't, you know, we will never let this stuff be seen. So they allowed it to happen, and then they said, no, we will. This footage will never be seen. And now 50 years has gone by. We've lost two of the Beatles. And what's happened, I think, now, and I haven't really had this conversation with them, but my feeling is that concern about image and memory has been superseded by the historical record. And they themselves, Ringo and Paul and Olivia and Sean, they understand the absolute historical importance of this footage. They care much less about how they look. They don't care if George and Paul are bickering. They used to care about that, but now they understand this is actually kind of rock and roll history. So there's a lot more of a sense of, okay, time to pull back the curtain, time to let people in to the studio and look at us. We after 50 years, we're prepared to let that happen. That's the sort of feeling I get.
More with Peter Jackson after a break on 720 WGN. His six-hour docuseries, The Beatles Get Back, premieres on Disney Plus starting on Thanksgiving night.
After all of these years, you know, we think we know everything there is to know about the Beatles.
Oh, no, you don't. You know, yeah. I'll tell you that you don't.
That's what makes this so intriguing, right?
5 years ago, I would have agreed with you. Now, you're about to get a huge surprise.
Yeah. So what were the things that surprised you most as you went through these 50-year-old
Everything surprised me in the sense that I had never seen anything so intimate and raw and kind of honest and, you know, honest to the point that you're seeing things that you feel slightly uncomfortable with. And they're not bad things. It's not like they're fighting each other or arguing. It's just like they're having conversation, trying to figure things out. And it's like, oh, maybe we should turn the cameras off and leave the room. And you think, oh, well, actually, we can't do that because this footage was shot 50 years ago. Okay, well, here it is. Here it is. It all surprises me in the sense that I've never, ever seen the Beatles in this form. Because they're human beings. They're not the Beatles, actually. They're John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, and George Harrison. That's who they are. They're not Beatles. Because the Beatles are an image. They're a product of marketing and a sort of market. They're a commercial thing, the Beatles. But this is not really. This is not the commercial Beatles. They're not doing anything. They're not performing. They're the four individuals from Liverpool. There's a big difference. And they're four very different individuals. They're four men who have got totally different personalities, totally different points of view, opinions, but they have a deep, deep respect and friendship for each other. Everything that goes wrong in during this period of time is only overcome because of their friendship. It could so easily collapse at any point, and at some point George does walk out, but ultimately it's the bonds between them that keeps this thing going.
What was the process like in assembling all of this and, you know, weaving together the story that you wanted to tell with Get Back?
Well, I didn't look at the macro. I couldn't look at 100. You obviously can't hear 150 hours at the same time. You can't look at 60 hours of film. You've got to sort of do it in bits. Now, normally in a movie, you have a script and you have scenes. So scene one is this, scene two. So you have bits because you have a script. But in this instance, I didn't have a script, but I had 22 days. Michael was there for 22 days. And day one is the beginning of the project and the 22nd day is the end of it. So, you know, it's the whole thing. So I didn't have a script, but I had 22 separate days. And so the first thing I did is Jabez Olsen, my editor, and I, we just focused on one day at a time. So we didn't think. And so each day we would edit each day. And there was no script. We didn't know the story particularly because books can't tell you this. We were sort of editing each day. And this, you know, the truth, the reality of what these guys were going through started to evolve day by day. It's sort of there. And so the story, they tell their story because of their being filmed as it's happening. And as we read it in each day, that sort of came into focus. It was weird. It was as if the script was actually writing itself as we were sort of cutting each day. It was a very strange experience.
Yeah. Did you have any concern that Paul, Ringo, Yoko, might get involved in the process and say, no, don't put that in. That doesn't make me look good. Let's leave this part out. We don't want to tell that story, something like that.
Sure. Well, you know, at the beginning, they told me, go away and just make the film you want. I didn't get told what to do. The truth is they hadn't actually seen this footage. I don't believe they had. They were living it in January 69, but that was a long time ago. They'd forgotten. They hadn't looked at this stuff. So I started to look at it, and immediately I'd seen it and they hadn't. And so they couldn't talk to me about it because they didn't know what was on it. They just said, look, go to New Zealand, take the time you need and cut the movie and just do what you want. You know, and they didn't give me any mandates. But of course, there's the moment when you've done a cut and you've got to show it to them. Now, you know, normally I get notes as you describe. I was expecting, but if I make a film and, you know, a commercial movie and it's a Warner Brothers film and I show it to Warner Brothers, I get like 7 pages of typed out notes. It's actually a normal part of the process because if Warner's financed the film, they have a right to do that. This footage was the Beatles. This was paid for by the four Beatles. When the cameras were rolling in 1969, the film stock, Michael Lindsay Hogg's fee, everything, the cameramen, they were paying for that. They own it. So they are the studio. So I had to show it to them. I was expecting notes, and also expecting notes on a little more personal basis too. You know, as you say, I don't want to be seen saying that. And they looked at it. And I was down in New Zealand. They were up there. It was the pandemic, and so I just had to send it and keep my fingers crossed and just wait. And I was fully expecting notes because they're the Beatles. They're notorious for having very careful control over their image. Nothing happens with the Beatles, but it's not all four have. You know, this is including Olivia and Sean have to agree. It's a very democratic kind of process, and it's very, you know, so sure. And then eventually, one by one, they came back to me. And I got generally comments like, it was incredibly stressful to watch. This is very, very raw. This is way more raw than we ever imagined to be. It's the definitive record of this period of time. This portrays us exactly as I remember us being. Don't change a thing. Wow. I got no notes. The first time in my entire career, I've never had a single note.
Wow. How about that?
biggest surprise of my life. Yeah. And it shows that they have an appreciation of history. Because sure, if I was Paul McCartney, there's a bunch of stuff I'd ask to be cut out, or Ringo. I mean, or Olivia on George's behalf. Yeah, sure. But they're pretty brave. They're brave because this, you've never seen the Beatles like this. But they believe that history is actually more important now than their own personal feelings.
Yeah, I watched the 40-minute segment that they sent us three times. I was so intrigued by it all. I can't wait to see the whole thing. Thank you so much for your amazing storytelling. And it's really nice to talk to you again. I hope we see you again in person soon.
I hope so, too.